analyst Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Through the Bible, we're going from the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, trying to keep everything in chronological order. Because the Bible's not written in chronological order. It's written in from the longest book to the shortest book. So we're picking up today in the book of Numbers, chapter 20. And Moses and the children of Israel, you know, they're trying to get to the promised land. And it's been a wild journey. And they've gone through all sorts of things. So we're going to pick up today. This is the children of Israel where they wandered through the wilderness of sin. They make camp at Kadesh. And things are happening. So about this time, the sister of Moses and Aaron died, and they buried her. At the same time, the wells of Kadesh dried up. The people and their cattle could not find water to drink. Again, they started to complain. Again, they said, Moses, did you bring us to the wilderness so all of us would die here? Now, they said this a half a dozen times. Here they are again. Why did you take us out of Egypt to bring us to this terrible place? Well, if you remember, you were slaves in Egypt. Nothing was going right. I mean, it was a messed up deal. So nothing grow here without water. There's no seeds, no figs, no vines, no pomegranates. There's not even water for us to drink. As always, Moses and Aaron left the people, went into the tabernacle to pray. Every time they know God'll show us what to do. Well, there the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord said to Moses, take Aaron and the rod. Man, it's getting me. God loves to, he plays some wonderful games. He says, take Aaron and the rod and have all of the people gather around the rock. Then speak to the rock and water will flow out. And there will be water for all the people and for the cattle. Well, Moses and Aaron gathered all the people and they stood before the great rock. Then instead of speaking to the rock, as God had told Moses, Moses spoke to the people in an angry voice and asked, must we bring you water out of the rock? He did not speak to the rock at all, but he hit it with his rod. Well, a clear stream of water gushed out and flowed across the land. The people ran quickly to drink, filled all their pitchers, brought all their cattle to drink from the stream. But God was displeased because Moses and Aaron had not obeyed him. He told them, because you disobeyed me and the people thought you gave them water instead of me, I'm not going to allow either one of you to lead the people across into the land of Canaan. The place where the Israelites had the water from the rock was called Meribah. Well, in Numbers chapter 20, verse 14, it says, picks up, for 38 years, the people wandered in the great wilderness. Then Moses planned to lead them to the border of Canaan. He wanted to go through the country of Edom to reach Canaan. But the Edomites and Israelites were somewhat related. They're like kissing cousins. They were descended from the brothers of Jacob and Esau, and the Edomites from Esau, the Israelites from Jacob. Well, Moses wanted to be friendly with these people. So from Kadesh, he sent a messenger to the king of Edom, say, hey, you know, all the trouble that has come on us in Egypt, and we're on the edge of your territory. I pray you, let us pass through your country. We promise to stay on your roads and not go through your fields or your vineyards. We will not drink your water. But the king of Edom did not feel friendly toward the Israelites. He was afraid to let the people go through his country. So he sent a message to Moses. You must not lead your people through Edom. And we all have kissing cousins. Don't let your people go through Edom. If you go through the land, I'll bring an army out against you. Moses even promised to pay the king of Edom. Listen, if you'll let the children of Israel go through, but the king refused. So Moses led the people around the country of Edom, south, east, and north toward Canaan. On this long, tiresome journey across the bare wilderness and the rocky plains, the Israelites came to Mount Hor, and here they camped. God reminded Moses and Aaron that they would neither one cross and enter Canaan because they had disobeyed him. Then he told Moses, take Aaron and the son Eleazar up to the mountain. Aaron was now an old, old man about to die. God told Moses to take the priestly robes off Aaron and put them on Eleazar. In this way, God chose Eleazar to take his father's place. How proud Aaron must have been of his son. Now he could rest in peace, for Eleazar would do well. And here Aaron died. When Moses and Eleazar returned to camp, the people saw that Aaron was not with them. They saw Eleazar was wearing their father's priestly robes, and they understood that God had chosen Eleazar to take Aaron's place. They knew Aaron had died on the mountain, and they mourned for him for 30 days. Well, in Numbers 21, after the Israelites left Mount Hor, they came to the desert country. The hot sands burned their feet. Everything looked dreary. Canaan seemed like far, far away, man. How long is it going to take us to get to this promised land? The people were tired. They were unhappy. As usual, they complained against God, against Moses. And again, they said, "Did you bring us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?" they asked. "We have no water. We are so tired of this manna that we have. We hate it. We hate the manna." So while they were complaining, snakes crawled into the camp and bit many people. These snakes or serpents looked like fire, and the poison from their bite felt like fire. And those who were bitten died. At once, the people knew they were being punished for complaining against Moses and against God. And they knew they had done wrong, and they were sorry. Quickly, they came to Moses and said, "Hey, we've sinned. We've sinned. We've spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord and ask him to take away these snakes." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord told him, "Make a fiery serpent and put it on a pole. Whenever anyone is bitten, he can look at that pole and be made well." And so Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a tall pole in the middle of camp. Then and on, when anybody was bitten by a snake, the person could look up at that great pole and the snake bite was made well. Verse 12 of Numbers 21, the Israelites broke camp. They moved ahead. The wilderness of Arnon was to the next stopping place, but here they found no water. But this time they did not complain. At this time they trusted God. The Lord told Moses, "Gather the people together and I'll give them water." Moses told the men, the chief men of the tribes, to dig a well in the sand. While they dug, all the people sang praises. They believed God would fill the well with water even before they saw it bubble up from the springs. Their faith pleased God. How the people enjoyed drinking from this well. Again, the Israelites moved on until they came to the country of the Amorites. Now, the Amorites worship idols. Moses wanted to lead the people through their country, so he sent a messenger to Sihon, the king of the Amorites. "Let us pass through your land," Moses asked. "We will keep on the highway. We'll not bother your fields or your vineyards. We will not even drink water from your wells if you let us pass through." But Sihon not only refused, but he took his army and marched out against the Israelites. God helped the Israelites. When they were attacked, God gave them a great victory. They marched through the land of the Amorites, and they took their cities and their villages. Now, they weren't going to do that, guys. You got to listen to this. They were just going to pass through, but when you oppose God, it's not going to go well. And so even the king's own city, the first one, became theirs. And the Israelites lived in the land of the Amorites for a time. Later, they moved toward the land of Bashan. Og, king of Bashan, brought out his army against them. The Lord told Moses, "Don't be afraid of him. I'll give you victory over Bashan." When the army of Bashan fought the Israelites won. Now, the long 40 years journey through the wilderness had come to an end. All the old men except Moses and two faithful spies, Caleb and Joshua, had died in the wilderness. Again, the Israelites stood on the border of Canaan. Only the Jordan River separated them from the green hills and the beautiful valleys of the promised land. They could look across the river and see this rich country that God had promised them. Starting in Numbers 22, the Israelites pitched their tents on the plains of Moab near the Jordan River. When Balak, the king of Moab, heard that, he was afraid. He had heard all the Israelites, what they had done to the Amorites. He knew they had taken land from the Amorites and the land of Bashan. Because he knew the Israelite army was larger than his, he thought, "You know, they're going to take my country away from me. Maybe they will even kill me." So finally, King Balak decided to send for Balaam, a wise man of Midian. Surely, Balaam could help the King Balak, some of his princes, and he sent them to Balaam for this message. "The Israelites have come from Egypt to the border of my country. There are so many of them, they seem to cover the earth. I'm afraid they will take our country, for they are mighty. I want you to come and help me. You're wise. It is said that you speak against the people, they become weak. If you bless the people, they become strong." So the princes went to Balaam, the king's message. In their hands, they had money the king had sent to Balaam for his help. Balaam told the princes, "I don't know whether the Lord wants me to go with you or not. Stay here tonight, and in the morning I will know." During the night, God asked Balaam, "Who are the men in your house?" Balaam said, well, these are the princes of Moab. King Balak sent them to ask me to help them. From Egypt, the Israelites have moved, come to this land. There's so many that their people are afraid. He wants me to speak against them in your name so they'll become weak. God told Balaam, don't go with the princes of Moab. You must not speak against the Israelites, for I have blessed them. In the morning, Balaam told the princes God did not want him to go with them. And the princes took Balaam's message to their king. When King Balak heard the message, he sent even greater princes to Balaam. They said, King Balak said to let nothing stand in your way, but come to him. He will give you great honor. He will do whatever you ask him. Balaam told the princes, if King Balak would give me his house full of gold and silver, I could not change the word of the Lord. But if you want to wait until morning, I will talk to the Lord again. When the princes slept, God told Balaam, if the men come to call you, get up and go with them. But she be sure to do what I tell you. Now in the morning, Balaam did not wait for the princes to call him. Instead, he got up, saddled his donkey. And when they awakened, his two servants, them, they went with him. God sent an angel to trouble Balaam. The angel stood on the road with a sword in his hand. Now Balaam did not see the angel, but his donkey did. And the animal ran off the road into the field. Balaam hit the animal, getting her back on the road. Man, he's beating her with a rod. Soon they came to a path that went through a vineyard. On either side was a stone wall. Again, the angel stood before them. The donkey was so frightened that my donkey ran into the wall. Balaam's foot was crushed against the wall. He was so angry at this donkey that he hit him again. Finally, the angel stood in a narrow place in the path. And the guy's trying to help him out. You know, God's trying, he said, he gives you an opportunity. He's just not responding. And so the donkey could not get around the angel. This time, the animal sunk to the ground. Balaam grew even more angry. He hit the animal with his staff again and again. God gave the donkey a voice. She asked Balaam, what have I done that you should hit me these three times? Because Balaam was so angry, he did not think it strange for the donkey to be speaking. Balaam said, if I had a sword, I'd kill you. The donkey reminded Balaam that she had always carried him safely since the day that he bought her. Balaam knew this was right. Then the Lord let Balaam see an angel. Balaam bowed his head and fell on his face. The angel asked, why did you hit the donkey three times? Three times she saw me in your path and she stayed away. Three times that donkey saved your life. Balaam said to the angel, I have sinned. I did not know you were standing in front of me. I will go back home. If you do not want me to go with them, the angel told Balaam, no, go with the princes of Moab. Be careful to speak only the words that the Lord gives you to speak. So we got an adventure going on. The children of Israel trying to get to the promised land. They've had detours, opposition, people that oppose them. Nobody likes them. Nobody's giving them favor. Have you ever felt you heard from God? Have you ever felt that God's told me to do something? And the minute you start moving toward what God's asked you to do, opposition pops up on every side. You think, there's no way this is God. If this was God, it would be smooth. If this was God, it would go smoothly. No, there's no story in the Bible that backs that up. I tell people, you know, you hear from God. I used to tell pastors, you stick that gold shovel in the ground to dedicate some land to build a church. Every demon in hell is probably going to come out of that hole where that shovel dug. There's only opposition when you start moving for God. That's what many people said, you know, I don't have any opposition. I've had a real smooth life. I said, have you ever tried to obey God in anything? Because most people don't. They're trying to do the easiest thing they can do. The devil's not bothering people that he has. The devil's not messing with people that he already owns, that's already going to live forever in hell with him. The devil doesn't bother those people. He only opposes the people of God. He opposes the people that are obeying God. That's why the Bible says we'll be more than conquerors and overcomer. You cannot oppose God. The Bible says if we're willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land. So all these stories reaffirm God's word from Genesis to Revelation. God's good, devil's bad, people are stupid. And so what we do not want to be a stupid people. We want to be a willing and obedient people. It's not my IQ and it's not my GPA. It's whether or not I'm going to be obedient to God. And so I prayed all the time, Father, teach me, my family, to fear you, for the fear of God is beginning of wisdom. And with that wisdom comes long life, riches, and honor. So I pray it every day for my family. I pray it tonight before I go to bed. Father, teach my family to fear you, for the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And with that wisdom comes long life, riches, and honor. Proverbs 3:16. So guys, bless you for listening today. Don't miss next time. We're going to pick this story back up. It's going to be great, great. God bless, guys. Thank you.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.